Here today, though, I want to share with you a message that God laid upon my heart. This is the fourth message today with the ventriloquism, and so my throat's a little dry, and it's been working pretty hard, and so pray for me. But Rodney's going to come and help me share a very interesting story on how God sometimes even used ladies for the ministry and doing things for the glory of God. Ladies, don't give up. You can be used of the Lord too. And you listen just how it happened in this important story out of the book of Judges. You listen.
Oh boy, it's my turn. I get to go.
It's my turn. I get to get out. Are there people here? Oh, yeah, there certainly is. Oh, boy, this is exciting, girls, too. Oh, yeah. Oh, here we go. Hello there, guys. How you doing? I'm back. Hey, good to see you. Thanks for coming. Hey, I got a question for you. You have a question for me. I sure do. Okay, well, what's that? Does God use ladies? Well, of course he uses ladies. Think about Mary. Oh, that's a different story. She gave birth to the Son of God. Well, what about Elkanah, his wife? You know, Anna? Yeah? She gave birth to Samuel. Think of what she's done, and others too. Oh, no, God doesn't use ladies. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me share with you a story that proves that God does. Oh, you prove it. Well, the Word of God, especially in the books of Judges, there's a young lady by the name of Deborah. Who's that? Well, she was a judge. Order in the court! Yeah, man, not that kind of judge. This judge was a judge over Israel. Israel was living in sin. And because of their sin, God sent the Canaanites. They have cannons, you know. No, the Canaanites. They had chariots of iron. Really? Yeah, and they had swords on the wheels. It was terrible. They did terrible things. And Israel was afraid of them. In any case, Deborah lived during those days when the Canaanites were trying to destroy Israel and doing some terrible things. But the Bible shares with us that Barak didn't think that God could use him. He said, you know, I don't think God's going to destroy the Canaanites. They're too big of an army. And he was afraid. And so Barak, he came to Deborah and said, Deborah, can we win this battle? And Deborah said, yes, we can. And Deborah said, go on, take your army and destroy the Canaanites. But Barak says, oh, no, I can't do that. In fact, I'll only do that if you go with me. Oh, non-lethally. Well, kinda. But Deborah said, if I have to go with you, you won't get credit for the battle. A woman will get credit for the battle. Deborah? Well, not exactly. You see, God told Israel to go high into the mountains. How come? Well, the Canaanites like to be in the valleys. They would destroy an army by running their chariots through the army and wipe them out. So God told Israel to go up into the mountains and wait a little while. When they started to hear a storm and the storm coming, they knew that God was leading the battle. And Barak took his army, went charging down the hill, and the Canaanites came running through the valley, and it got so stormy and so wet, they got bogged down, they got stuck. So the Bible shares with us that Sisera jumped out of his chariot and ran for his life. Oh, he's going fast, isn't he? Yeah, he ran for his life, and he went right to jail. Throw away the key. He's in prison. Hold, wait a second. No, jail is the name of a young lady who had a tent in the valley. Yeah? And Sisera comes along and says, I need a break. Allow me to sleep in your tent. And so jail took and got some buttermilk, and gave him something to drink. He slept, or rather he drank the buttermilk, and he fell asleep right in the middle of the tent. Yeah. So jail, she goes outside the tent, yeah, and she grabs a tent peg. Uh-huh. She takes the tent peg, goes back into the tent. The tent's gonna fall down. Well, no, the tent stayed up. He took that tent peg, put it right on Sisera's temple, took a hammer, and nailed that nail right through his temple and into the ground. I bet that never entered his 94. I'm pretty sure it didn't. Right there in the middle of the tent, Sisera died. Do you know why? Yeah, he drank the dirty milk. Yeah. In any case, he died that day. And Deborah had been counted for the battle. Wow.
Do you mean ladies really can use God can use ladies? He certainly can. You know, guys, watch out for ladies with tent tags. Yeah. In any case, God can use each and every one of us for the glory of God. What a powerful story. Yeah, God does use ladies. And God can use each one of us, can't he? He certainly can, Rodney. Why don't you say goodbye to these fine folks? Okay. Hey, we'll see you guys later. Old boy, tent tags, huh? That's not a very good situation, huh? Right through his temple, into the ground. Wow, he died there. And God got the credit. We'll see you guys later, okay? Thanks for coming. Well, come on. Hey, we'll see you later. Thanks for being here. Bye. That's Rodney. And the story of Deborah. The story is found in Judges chapter 4, verse 1, all the way to Judges chapter 5, and verse 31. Deborah was a judge who sat under a palm tree and judged the nation of Israel. Of course, Israel was living in sin, and because they weren't serving the Lord, God said, I'm going to get Israel's attention. And so he sends in this army called the Canaanites to destroy their land, to take their crops, and to get a hold of their attention, draw them back to the Lord. And during that time, Barak, he was the one who was in charge of the army. He didn't think he could do the job. So he goes to Deborah the judge, and she tells him just how they can win. You know, as you look at the story of Deborah, I certainly can see a servant of the Lord, one who chose to serve the Lord in the midst of battle, in the midst of war. And you know, as you think about this, you want to consider the purpose of life. Who do we trust in? What do we center our focus on? And even in the midst of battle, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of suffering, and certainly as you think about America, the whole world going through the coronavirus, having questions, wondering what's going to take place, who can we trust in? Well, what is the purpose of life? Let me share with you an illustration. I have up here some cards. And I need some help here. Let's see here. You know, I learned that ladies always have this way of getting the right answers all the time. Let's see. How about you? Okay, pick a, how about this young lady here? Would you be willing to come up here? Can you come up here and help me out?
Yeah.
Could you do that? Can you take these cards? Tell me what those cards are. What are they? There's a number one there, right?
One,
and a number two, and a three,
four,
and four, and a five, right?
Yeah.
So go ahead. Why don't you throw those in here? Put them all in there. And we're just going to mix them up, okay? And what I want you to do here is I want you to pick a card out of there on the one that you think would be the true answer, the true means and answers to life, okay? There you go. So reach down in there, grab just one of those cards. There you go. And what card did you pick?
Three.
Number three. Very good. So go ahead. You can have a seat, okay? Go ahead and sit down. And I have here a bunch of cards that some people say, this is the answer to life. This will give me true peace and true joy. There are a lot of people in the world today, don't they say, alcohol is the answer?
No.
You know, with all this suffering in the world and all the anguish and pain, I mean, if I just drown my sorrows away, wouldn't that just give me some peace and joy? You know, isn't that what the world says? That's what the world says. Alcohol is the answer. Well, then there's another one here. This one here is a picture of picture of a witch, witchcraft. You know, things like the Ouija board, Dungeons and Dragons, things that are satanic and demonic. And they think, you know, boy, you know, palm readers, people who choose to, they make these phone calls to read your palm, or a psychic to tell you the future. Well, let me tell you something. Don't call the number. Don't call the number. They don't know. That's very satanic and very ungodly. But there's people in the world say, well, that's the answer to life. That's what will give me true peace and true joy and tell me who I should marry or when I'm going to die. This will certainly give me some peace and take away some of that anxiety. Well, that's what some people believe. So I'm going to place this one right here too. Then there's others who believe that Jesus Christ is the answer to life. He's the one that will give me true peace and true joy. And that's the one that I seek. That's the one in whom I want to trust. And then there's another one here, and that is an Emmy, an award. A lot of movie stars are people who are famous. They like to work toward one of these. You know, if I can just become famous and everybody will know me, that will give me true joy and peace, won't it? But I know that you could probably name a number of people who are fit this bill who are not very happy. In fact, there are people that you and I can think of who even committed suicide because they had no joy and no peace. But there's people out there that think, hey, this is where true joy is. This is where true peace is. If I can just become famous, when everybody can like me. And then there's another one, money. Man, if I had $1 million, you think what I could do with that? Man, money would just make me so happy, fill me full of joy. After all, you know, I can support missionaries that way, right? If I just had $1 million, I would just feel like a millionaire. I would just have so much joy and so much peace. But you know, in all the traveling that we've done, we have seen a lot more happy people who are poor financially than people who are rich in the world today. So not all of these will give true joy and true peace. That's for sure. So I chose a young lady to come to pick which one she thought would give true joy and true peace. And which number was that?
Jesus.
But how do you know that? What number is on there?
Three.
A number three? Okay, well, here's a number five. That's not it. Here's the number four. That's not it either. But here's number three. Let's see what it's on the other side. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Jesus is the answer, isn't he? He's the one that gives true peace and true joy. Not money or fame or fortune, but Christ. Christ. He's the one that will bring true joy and true peace. Deborah was the one who pointed Israel to the Lord. Even though they're in the midst of a battle, people were dying. Terrible things were happening. Israel was being punished for their sin. And soon they turned to the Lord and said, it's the Lord that will give me peace. It's the Lord that I can trust in. He's the one in whom we stand. Thank you so much. You did a good job. Can you give me my card back? There you go. All right. Good job. That was great. So not only as you looked at Deborah, a servant of the living God, Deborah, a judge sitting under a palm tree, the servant of the Lord. But then we also want to look at messenger of the battle. She had a message. She told Barak, you know, you're going to win, but you have to go alone. You have to trust the Lord yourself. But he said, nope, I'm not going to go without you. I'm not going to go without you. And so if she said, well, if you don't go without me, somebody else is going to get credit for the battle. And so Barak, he stood his ground. He didn't change. He said, no, I want you to go with me. As a result, he did not get the credit. But you know, we have a message. And that message is hope in Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of our sin, we cannot spend eternity in heaven. Because God hates sin. And he will not allow sin into his presence. Because he hates it so much. So the messenger that shares with us the truth of God's word found in the word of God tells us just what we must do. In fact, this verse, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know, I heard a great preacher one day said, well, all means all, and that's all that all means. All of us are born in sin, each and every one of us. You know, I know sometimes when we have grandchildren or we see a baby that's born, we look at that baby and say, that baby's so cute, he can't be a sinner. But he is. He was born in sin. And the reason why he sins is because he was born in sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I want to share with you an illustration, but I need your help. What do you think is the key word in Romans 3:23? That verse that says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What's the key word? The key word? All. You're right, all. Now, can we all say that on the count of three? Let's try it, okay? One, two, three.
All.
All. For all have sinned. And you know, the Bible says that our sin, oh man, is as filthy rags. Look at that. That looks pretty disgusting. For all have sinned. What a message. All of us are born in sin, just as filthy rags. Just looks disgusting. How gross. But you know, the Word of God shares with us that if we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we trust in Him, believing in His Word, that God's Word is true, and trusting in Him, the Bible shares with us that though our sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. The question is, what have you done with Christ? Have you trusted in Him? Do you know Him as your Savior? And you know, just as I had said before, just as the Lord forgives us of our sin, He will also forget about our sin. And so as I open this up, we can certainly see that that dirty, old, filthy rag is cleaned just as white as snow. Have you trusted in Him? Do you know Him as your personal Savior, the true answers to life, and the messenger of the battle? You know, we're going to win that battle one day. We are going to be victorious. We're going to win. Have you ever read the last book of the Bible? The last book of the Bible happens to be Revelation. Not concordance, but Revelation. And the book of Revelation says that we one day are going to win the battle. We are going to be victorious. And just as the messenger of the battle of that day, we have a messenger too. And that messenger says there's hope in Christ. That even as we're all born in sin, and now because of our sin, we're going to spend eternity in hell, there is hope. Hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the servant of the Lord. Secondly, the messenger of the battle. And last of all, the proclaimer of the outcome. The proclaimer said, the outcome is going to be good. It is going to be good. If you trust the Lord, you believe in Him, and you believe that His word is true, we are going to win the battle. But you know, Barak, he looked at those Canaanites. They had those chariots of iron. They even had swords on the end of those wheels. So as they're running through the army, those swords, they cut people up. They were a ruthless army. I mean, they came through and they destroyed the armies in whom they fought. And now they're going after Israel. And Israel was in trouble. And Barak was concerned. But Deborah said, I know the outcome. I know what's going to happen. I know the ending, and God's going to be praised. And we can trust in Him. And you know, just as today, there's a message of hope, a message of eternal life, a message that we call the pearly gates, heaven. You know, there's a lot of people in the world today who try to tell us where heaven is. A lot of them say, well, heaven is up. Others say, no, heaven is to the north. Then there's other people who say, no, heaven is just in the presence of God. But I want to tell you right now that heaven is right here in Kenmore, Wyoming. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Pearly gates, you know, isn't Wyoming a lot like heaven? Yeah, you kind of look a little skeptical, but in any case, it's kind of beautiful, isn't it? I mean, aren't you guys from Wyoming? Don't you love the state of Wyoming? Yeah, but heaven would be better, wouldn't it? Well, I want to show you that this box here is empty. There's nothing in it. And I have this beautiful picture of heaven because, you know, I hope that one day each and every one of us here tonight will spend eternity there in heaven. I also have up here a box that's got a couple doors in it. And these doors here, as you notice, is empty. There's nothing in it. This represents earth. This represents where we are today. Then I also have up here a block of wood. I got silver on the top, silver on the bottom, and it's blue all the way around, and it's a solid block. And I'm going to place it right here in heaven because I hope that is where you all want to be. That one day when Christ returns and we're raptured up to be with Him, or one day when we pass away, slip off into eternity, I hope that you will spend eternity in heaven. But you know, that is not where we are today. There's some people that say, well, everybody's going to heaven. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says those who choose to reject the Savior are going to spend eternity in hell. There's just one heaven, just one. And it's for those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go ahead and pull this block that represents you and me back out. And I'm going to place it right here inside this box. because here we are, right there in earth. And you know, there's people today that try to tell us that everybody's going to heaven. Then there's other people who, too, who say, no, 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 nobody knows for sure they're going to heaven. You know, and I kind of get tossed back and forth, and I wonder, well, what do you mean nobody knows for sure they're going to heaven? In fact, when they start telling me that, I kind of flip around, and I turn a little blue. Don't you turn a little blue? You know, who are you to say that you can't know for sure? In fact, Scripture says, these things have been written that ye may know that you have eternal life. You can know without a shadow of a doubt that heaven will be your eternal home. In fact, the Word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In fact, one day, Christ is going to return. In fact, the Word of God says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Question is, what have you done with Jesus? There's a messenger. There's the Word of God that clearly teaches us we can know. We can know without a shadow of a doubt. Do you know for sure today? Do you know for sure that heaven will be your eternal home? The Word of God tells us just how we can know. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Have you trusted in him? Do you know him as your Savior today? The Word of God says today. Today is the day of salvation. Don't turn him away. Trust in him today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God today and for the hope and peace that we have in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for Deborah, that judge so long ago, who had a message, the outcome. She knew that God was going to lead, that you would open doors, and that Israel would be victorious. We have a message today that we can be victorious, even in the midst of this coronavirus. Even in this midst of fear, of the unknown, wondering what's going to happen, being locked up in our homes, can we win this battle? Can we be victorious? But we can. We can find peace and joy even in the days of suffering, even in the days of being locked up, that we can trust in the Lord and know that he, that you know what's best and that you'll guide our every steps. But Father, I pray maybe today there's someone here that's not saved, who's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They don't know if heaven's their eternal home. Father, I pray that you'll work in their hearts in ways that I can't, that your name will be glorified today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, if you're here today and you would say, Preacher, I'm not saved. I do not know for sure if heaven will be my eternal home, but I'd like to know for sure today. I want to encourage you, if you're here today and you don't know, and you would like to speak to someone today about trusting the Lord as your Savior, would you be willing to slip up your hand, look at me in my eyes, and raise your hand and let me know? I would like to speak to someone today and find out what it means to be born again. Find out what it means to know without a shadow of a doubt that heaven will be my eternal home. Anyone? It's the most important decision you can make in your whole life. Oh, Father, I thank you for today, for the fact that you love each and every one of us. Use these words today, this message, to work in hearts in ways that I can't. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.